Let us now turn to the Gospel of Mark. We turn to chapter 14 and we read from the verse 43 through to the verse 72. The scripture reading this evening is found in the Gospel of Mark, the chapter 14, the verse 43 to the verse 72. This is the Word of God, the Word of Almighty God. May the Lord give us ears to hear and hearts to receive His precious and sacred an infallible word. Come, let us hear his word. And immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given him a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him, and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him, and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword, and smote a servant of a high priest, and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Are ye come out, as against a thief, with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and ye took me not. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. And there followed him a certain young man, having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. The young men laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none, for many bare false witness against him. But their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain, and bare false witness against him, saying, We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But neither so did their witness agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. And the high priest rent his clothes and saith, What need we any further witness? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him, and to cover his face, and to buffet him, and to say unto him, Prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, And thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And the maids saw him again, and began to say to them, that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And the second time the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Amen. This is the word of God, the word of Almighty God. May the Lord be pleased to bless that public reading of his holy, infallible, inerrant and sacred word, all to the glory of his name and to the everlasting good of our poor and never dying soul. Would you, young people, please turn with me in your Bibles there to the Gospel of Mark, the chapter 14. I turn your prayerful attention once again to those words which I read to you in your hearing. And just by way of introduction, as we come to this passage of Scripture, I want to focus and garner our thoughts around the verse 54, where we read these words, "And Peter followed him afar off." And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Here is the great apostle Peter, and the Lord Jesus Christ is facing very soon his last moments. He's going to be taken the next day and be put upon that cruel cross at Calvary and suffer the death which he told his disciples he would suffer, that also he would be raised again on the third day. And here is Peter. He sees him arrested, apprehended in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Peter, we read, followed him afar off. And this evening, with that in view, I want to consider this subject of spiritual self-harm. And in many ways, we see Peter doing himself self-harm, spiritual self-harm. Of course, all these things are ordained of God. The Lord knew he would do this, but that still doesn't excuse Peter. And there is a suffering that Peter will endure after this. He will backslide for a while. And of course, as the Lord said, he will be restored. And we want to think of this subject of spiritual self-harm. Firstly, the harm a Christian can do to himself. And then secondly tonight, the harm to the person who isn't a Christian. And we see in this very passage the spiritual self-harm that Judas has done to himself. Judas was a man that was with the other disciples for 3 years, came alongside the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, saw all the wonderful miracles and signs and wonders. Judas, who saw Lazarus raised from the dead. Judas, who was there with the many when the 5,000 were fed. Judas, who saw all these tremendously wonderful things and yet sold the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And we know, although it was prophesied that Judas would deny the Lord Jesus Christ, that is true. Yet Judas was not somehow a sort of a puppet. He was a moral agent, made decisions like you and I. He had rational capacity. He had a heart. He had a mind. He could understand things. He saw things with his own eyes, as you and I do. He reasoned in his heart. We're told in Acts chapter 1, the verse 25, that by transgression, Judas fell. By his own transgression, although it was foreordained that he was the son of perdition, yet by his own transgression. Acts chapter 1, the verse 25, Judas fell. What a tragedy. But also what a tragedy when we consider here Peter, who was so blessed by the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, we could say, here represents the Christian. And who of us, if we're Christians here tonight, could not say that we, in some way, or some form, have denied the Lord Jesus Christ? And of course, these things here are written for our learning, for our instruction, but also there is a lesson too. And I hope to bring this to those who do not know the Lord Jesus with regards to Judas. So let's begin with Peter. Let us see what happens. Do you remember earlier on, if you gaze at the verse 29 of this very chapter, Peter very boldly says that he should not offend the Lord Jesus. In verse 29 he says, "Although all shall be offended, yet will not I." Dear young Christians, those of you who know the Lord, let me just say this is the first and biggest mistake we ever make. To say that we'll never fall, and therefore we never pray against falling. And how often Christians fall in this world. especially when we're young in age, and especially as we've just begun the Christian life and the Christian walk. You know, the Bible tells us, "He that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall." And Peter said, "Although all shall be offended, yet not will I." And here we see how he denies the Lord Jesus Christ just a few hours after. And you know, maybe you, perhaps in your first week of being saved, converted by the Lord, how you perhaps you can reflect on how maybe you denied the Lord in some way. He was offended. The Lord Jesus said, "All shall be offended, yes, but not I." In fact, the words in verse 34 of Matthew 26 says, "Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter did, and he wept. We must be very careful in this life. We must pray, we must watch and pray against temptation, denying the Lord. Now let's go to the garden, the verse 43. "And immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, with one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given him a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely." Judas had already planned all of this. He devised a system whereby he could point exactly to who the Lord Jesus Christ, these guards didn't know who he was precisely, but the one whom he kissed, that was the one they were to arrest. This was all arranged. The 30 pieces of silver have already been organized to give to Judas. And you notice in the verse 45, "And as soon as he was come, that is Judas, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him." This is that awful night, but predicted by God in eternity past, that the Son of God should be betrayed. You can even read it in the Old Testament, that he should be betrayed by one of his friends. And now after that, there is the incident where Malchus has his ear cut off, and the Lord Jesus restores the ear back. But we pick up from the verse 54, "And Peter followed him," that is the Lord Jesus, "afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire." Now here is the proposition and statement that I make to you. The very reason why Peter here stumbled, why he fell, is because he was walking afar off. Let me put it to you this way. The Lord Jesus has already said to his disciples on three separate occasions that it would be he and he alone that would be put to death at the cross. None of the disciples. So in other words, if the Lord Jesus Christ had Peter at his side as they were walking to the palace where the Jewish elders were, he would have been perfectly safe. Peter could have walked with the Lord Jesus Christ, perfectly safe, because the Lord Jesus Christ had very clearly said that it was he and he alone that would be put to death. But you see, the fact that he was afar off, instead of walking with the Lord Jesus Christ and the guards that arrest him, he stumbled. Peter had no need to fear, because it was not he that had blasphemed, supposedly blasphemed. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't blaspheme. He was indeed the Son of God. But Peter could have walked with him. But he didn't. Now, there are other people that identified publicly with the Lord Jesus Christ, even at his death, even at the crucifixion, and no harm came to them. Joseph of Arimathea. You think of Nicodemus. You think of the many women that were there at the cross. They all publicly identified with the Lord Jesus Christ, and no harm came to them. No harm would have come to Peter, because it was the Lord Jesus who said that it was he alone that would suffer and die on the cross, that he would be put to death, not Peter. But Peter chose to walk afar off, and that is because he felt perhaps things are getting too difficult, afraid. And those are the times Those of you who are Christians, we need to draw near to the Lord Jesus. When we're most afraid and we're going through difficulties, don't deny the Lord Jesus Christ. We bring spiritual self-harm. Think of how Peter could have benefited if he had a walk with the Lord Jesus. If he had a walk with the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus could have said, you know, this is what I said to you just a few days ago. I'm now going to the cross. I'm going to be put to death by the hands of evil and wicked men. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die. Peter, these things are being fulfilled. Be encouraged. Instead, what happens? As Peter follows, instead of walking with the Lord and the guards, he stumbled. And he began to lie. And he began to be deceitful. Terrible, isn't it? The first thing he lost was comfort. He lost comfort that the Lord Jesus Christ could have given him. Now, the Lord Jesus didn't need comfort. No, he didn't need comfort. He was the one comforting the one that was dying next to him on the cross, the thief. When he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The Lord never needed comfort. We read elsewhere in Mark's gospel, he set his face as flint as he was going to the cross. So determined was he to suffer and to die for his people. The Lord Jesus didn't need comfort, but Peter needed it. How discomforted Peter was here now that he is not walking with the Lord. He could have been reminded once again, the Son of Man has come to give his life as a ransom for many. Peter, I must needs go to the cross. See, these things are being fulfilled. Remember some of the women that wept when the Lord Jesus Christ was being led away. What did he say to them? Weep not for me, but weep for yourselves. So Peter lost out on this comfort. In Mark chapter 8, you maybe just cast your eye there for a moment. This is where the Lord Jesus Christ, on one of the occasions, said to them that the Son must suffer many things. Mark 8, 31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things. Now, when we read there, he began to teach them, tells us that he didn't just say something in passing, but he actually expounded it. He explained it to them. He took his time and he explained that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. How foolish he was, Peter. He didn't listen. And you know, young Christians, when we don't listen to God's word, we stumble and we fall. When we don't draw near to the Lord Jesus Christ, we stumble, we're offended. We lose sight of reality. Since we met last, how much have you been reading the word of God? I don't say that to rebuke you, but I say that in love to challenge you, and to keep you on your way with the Lord. How much are we reading the word of God? You see, we won't walk with the Lord Jesus. We'll be at a distance from him if we don't read his word, if we don't listen to what he has to say in his word, if we don't draw near to him. We're alone in this world. And that's how Peter felt at this time, alone. This is why we need each other if we're Christians, because we need to encourage, we need to stir one another up in these truths. And we need, especially God, we need his word. We need the Bible. But secondly, you see, Peter, because he kept at a distance from the Lord, he walked afar off, he put himself into the company of others who were actually the enemies of God. God's the Son of God. Here we see the servants of the chief priests and the elders in the courtyard, and one of them looks down and sees Peter. Had he been walking with the Lord Jesus, not denied him, well, he would have been quite safe. In fact, if he was right there in the courtyard afterwards and been with the Lord Jesus, he could have said to them, you know what, this man is going to die. and he's going to rise on the third day. He could have been a witness. He could have been a great witness. And this reminds us that, you know, although often we don't do the right things, in one sense, the Lord doesn't depend upon us. And thank the Lord for that, because we fail him. Although we should. We should be a faithful witness. And thank the Lord doesn't fail. Although Peter failed. But you notice in the verse 54 that Peter followed even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with his servants and warmed himself at the fire. And then we read in the verse 66, and as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. Now it seems, as you read the account here, the story, one of the maids, it seems, when it says it from beneath, perhaps she's been looking from above and she spots him. In the verse 67, when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him. That is, she gazed upon his person, his figure. She had seen him before and said, "And thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth," which she reported to the chief priest. What would happen? Well, because of all of this now, what's he going to do? What does he do? He denies the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 68, but he denied, saying, "I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. I don't know what you're on about." And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. Peter, it seems he has to take a minute away. Not only is the fire's very warm, but his own inner temperature, he's getting nervous. Somebody has seen me. Somebody has recognized me. He feels uncomfortable. He's got to go away. He's got to get a little bit of space. He's on the spot. They recognize me. At least one of them. And he denied, saying, "I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest." And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. There's the first time. He's denied the Lord, and as a result of denying the Lord, he ends up in a great dilemma here. Now, will he own up to the fact that he knows the Lord? No. The cock crows here, we read. There's no one else around. There's a sort of an eerie silence. The fire is crackling in the courtyard. We don't know what time it was. It was nighttime when they arrested him, perhaps early hours of the morning. But now the cock crows. And he's away from the fire, he's away from the conversation, and there's this silence, and all he hears is this cock crow. It's a warning. But does he heed? No, because the pressure is on, you see. And this is how it is if you begin to deny the Lord and you walk away from him and you don't spend time in his word and you don't walk with him and you fear man. The scriptures say, "The fear of man bringeth a snare." This is the situation that Peter's in. I must pretend I don't know him. He's got to act a different person. What must I do? I can't run away. If I run away, they'll think I'm a follower of Christ. So he's got to go back to the fire. He's got to go back to the people. But it gets even worse. He goes back. Notice the verse 69. And we read, "And a maid saw him again." Now, when you turn to Matthew 26 and the verse 71, we read that it's another maid. Matthew 26, 71, "And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." So he's lied to another person, another maid. Two people now have recognized him. It's even worse. They've identified him. What's he going to do? Well, you know how lies are. They don't just come in ones and twos, do they? They come in a whole pack. When you make one lie, it's a whole host of lies that go with it. Verse 70, "And he denied it again." That's the second time. And they that stood by again, they said to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto." So here's a whole crowd, perhaps, of people. He couldn't hide it now. And so what does he do? He begins to act and to respond totally out of character. This is not the way a Christian behaves. Verse 71, "But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak." See, he's almost got to sort of behave. We don't know if this is some of his old nature coming back, or is he just trying to sort of blend in with them? We don't know for sure, but nonetheless, this is totally out of character for a godly man to curse, to use worldly swear words, and then to swear on oath. And the second time we notice the verse 72, the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said unto him, "Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." And then we read, "And when he thought thereon, he wept." And all of this was because Peter walked afar off. As I said and I asserted, he could have. According to the words of the Lord Jesus, he was under no harm. Other people publicly identified with the Lord Jesus at his crucifixion, at his death, and no harm came to them. They were after the Son of God. He didn't listen to Christ's words. But if he had walked with him, he would have not have gone through all of this. And so what happens? Peter's character begins to crumble. He curses, he swears, and if you know anything about what happens from now, Peter really backslides. Yes, he sees the risen Lord Jesus on the third day, but Peter's not right for a good while. There's a time when the Lord Jesus restores him in John's Gospel in chapter 21. And Peter there is fishing naked in the boat. He's gone back to his old crass ways as a fisherman. And so embarrassed is he when the disciple says, "Yes, it's the Lord Jesus there on the beach, on the seaside," that he quickly jumps into the water, gets some clothes. He wasn't right. And the Lord has to restore him, and he does. And he asks him three times, "Peter, lovest thou me? Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee." But he denied him. He restored him there at a fireside on the beach as the Lord Jesus Christ prepared some fish for them to eat. But you know, it was a long time of backsliding for Peter. It would be a while. And so it is with us. If we do not walk closely with the Lord, if we don't study his word, and if we don't trust him, and if we fear men, and if we deny him in this world, all sorts of things happen to us. Now I wonder, what about you in your life? Have you been as bold as you should have been for the Lord Jesus? Have you confessed him before men? Well, have you, first of all, have you read your Bibles? See, have you been in the Word? Have you been loving the Lord? Have you been worshipping him? Have you been adoring him, thanking him for going to the cross at Calvary? As we've just remembered this time which the world calls Easter, the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. Have you reflected on that time when the Son of God came into this world? You're a Christian. And Christ has died there on the cross, and as Peter says in his epistle, he took our sins in his own body. Have you thanked God for that? The Lord has said, whoever's ashamed of me in this world, he'll be ashamed of them. Have we been ashamed of the Lord Jesus? Have we spent time with him? Have we confessed him before other people? Well, we're not going to be strong if we're not reading our Bibles, if we're not walking closely with the Lord Jesus, if we're not trusting him. You know, you can go to chapel and still be very far. You can still walk very far from the Lord Jesus. You can agree to all these things in the Bible that the Word of God has to say. And you say, well, I'm not like the world. I don't get out. I'm not out there tonight. It's Friday night tonight. I'm not out with some of my school friends. I'm not out getting drunk, pumping drugs into my veins. I'm not with the world. Yeah, but you're walking afar off. You've not owned him before men. You've not confessed him before men. You've denied him. And there's opportunities you can encourage other Christians. How often do you talk about the Lord with other young Christians? That, you know, that is a responsibility we all have as Christians. It doesn't just arrive to us at a certain age when we get to, say, 30 years old or 25 years old, and then we start to be more serious as a Christian. No. We encourage Christians. We exhort one another. But you see, if you're not this way, you're walking afar off. Peter was afraid of people. He was afraid of men. In some ways we can understand, but sometimes we're like Peter. We're afraid of men. As I said, Proverbs 29, 25, the fear of man bringeth a snare. But whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. That's the rest of that verse. Trust the Lord. We have opportunities to speak for him, to witness for him, to serve him. Do you pray? Here's another thing. Remember how the Lord Jesus said to them in the garden, watch and pray against temptation. Do you pray against fear? Of course, we're all afraid, aren't we, at times to speak to people who are lost. Do we hold back a little? Are you a Christian? Yeah, I go to church. Maybe that's all you say. I go to chapel. That's as far as it goes. Yeah, I go with my mom and dad. That's your Christian life, supposedly. It's all a desire to be accepted by others. Fear of persecution. That was Peter's fear. But it led to an awful conduct, didn't it? As a result, he had to deny the Lord Jesus. It was terrible. And you see, the result is he wept. After he considered all these things, all that he had done. And then he goes back to his old ways, a crude man. You see, when you deny the Lord, it affects your life. Your relationship with him is marred. You can't pray as you used to. You can't read your Bible as you used to. You've lost that fellowship and that closeness with the Lord. And that's what Peter lost for so long. Is there somebody here tonight, you're walking afar off from the Lord? You know, it doesn't take long. It doesn't take long, and it can happen to all. As I said, you can go along to things and, you know, everybody thinks everything's okay with you, but it's not. The Lord knows. The best thing to do is to confess it to the Lord now, to ask him to forgive you, draw near to him. You know, one of the things that begins to happen when we are under pressure from the world is, well, we begin to give in to their demands. We're with a group of people, perhaps not Christians. Like Peter here, I don't know the Lord Jesus. And he sits with them at the fire. And you can imagine some of them, they're all, of course, imagine, they're servants of these chief priests. And they've been hearing now for 3 years all these false allegations against the Son of God. You're one of him, his disciples. And you be prepared to sit with people in this world that deny the Lord Jesus. What a wretched thing. And you perhaps will go along and watch some of the films and listen to the music that the people of the world listen to. It's amazing what compromises people make when they don't walk with the Lord. Peter, for a long time, was in a very bad way spiritually. I say a long time, it was long enough. Long enough. was never good. And I mentioned he was restored in John chapter 21. Now, if we are the Lord's, let me just say this, we must take up our cross daily. Remember what the Lord Jesus said in Mark 8:34. And when he had called the people with him, unto him, with his disciples, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. And that means to suffer in this world for the sake of Christ. Christ, who has suffered on the cross for us and borne our sins in his own body. The friend of friends. God the Son. Imagine that. God, here is the creator of the universe. Jesus Christ, all things were made by him and for him. Would we deny him to this sinful world? Well, there's spiritual self-harm. If we're Christians, let us walk closely with the Lord in this life. I say, Peter did himself great harm, walking afar off. But Judas, we can say, did even worse, didn't he? He completely turned his back on the Lord. For 3 years, he had heard the marvelous, the wonderful ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had seen everything. And finally betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. And that's how so many are. That's a picture of the world. You know, you can go to chapel. Like Judas, he heard the word of God every day of his life. And yet, he threw it all away for the riches of this world. And he tried to give the money back. And then what did he do? He went and hung himself. Why? Because he knew he betrayed innocent blood. He betrayed the Son of God. Again, that spiritual self-harm. And let me say this. Again, Judas, by transgression, fell. By his own sin. And you might say, well, I'm not one of God's elect. I don't feel I'm one of God's elect. Yeah, but you fall by sin. And we're all fallen by nature. And you have been exposed to the truth of God's word, even tonight. And it's a sin to deny God his due and his honor and his glory. Well, I want to think now of the second. Let me turn you for a moment to Proverbs 21, the verse 7. Here's a verse, let me try to explain. And here we're picturing the lost, the unsaved. Judas, we must say, sold the truth, didn't he? He knew the truth. That's why he hung himself. He knew he betrayed the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Proverbs 21, 7. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do judgment. Now let me say the book of Proverbs is not just a practical book with lots of practical advice about life, but above all, like every book of the Bible, it is a spiritual book meant to convey certain truths. Here what we have is a sort of an ancient figure, an ancient proverb that's very illustrative. When you look at the Hebrew words here, it's very illustrative. Here the term, the robbery of the wicked. The word here, robbery, used, is the word that is employed that pertains to bandits. In the ancient times, along the trading routes in the Middle East, you've got to remember, everything traveled through the desert. And there were bandits on the road. And that's the word conveyed here. And I'll try to open this up a little bit more. But along those trade routes in the deserts, they were under constant threat. Just like today, I suppose you've heard on the news of the Somali pirates that are waiting, the great cargo ships going, ready to get up through the Suez Canal. And they take some of the passenger liners or the oil tankers, they take people hostage and they want millions of pounds or dollars or whatever it is. And these people are terrible. Well, very often they get the money. They can't spend the money in the rest of the world. So most of them they buy drugs and lead these appalling lives. And they've got no life after all. So they live in these communities. Well, here in these ancient days, the robbery of the wicked, along these ancient trade routes in the deserts were these bandits that would come alongside and they would attack the merchants that have expensive cargo in the caravans. And you notice the verse, the robbery of the wicked shall destroy them. The word there, destroy, is the Hebrew word to saw, S-A-W, to saw in half. So if you're cutting wood, literally to cut them. And so the idea here is the bandit that robs these caravans is going to come to harm. And this was often the case. Many of them have lost limb, eyes. And you see, it's a sort of attractive to the young man, attractive kind of a living. Well, come and join us. So you read the beginning of the book of Proverbs, the first few chapters of Proverbs. Come, let us wait in snare. You've read in the book of Proverbs at the early chapters. And so the robbery of the wicked, that's these bandits, shall cut them up. Why? Because they refuse to do judgment. They refuse to do the right thing. And this is the sinner in this life. How can I put it? See these bandits, they come together. They want this appealing sort of lifestyle. It's quick and easy. You know, you can make some money quickly. Let's just steal some. But the problem is, not only were many of them prone to getting hurt and cut, but nobody would buy the goods off them because nobody wants to buy stolen goods. So it's a futile life, isn't it? The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them. How pointless. Many of these men, they couldn't even integrate into society. It was a foolish thing. Robbery doesn't pay off, does it? Now, of course, because the book of Proverbs is a spiritual book, we must apply it spiritually. If in this life we don't pay God the honor that is due to his name, it's self-harm. These bandits were self-harming themselves. They were cutting themselves off from the rest of society. Many of them didn't have all their eyes, some of them walking around with a limp arm, because the merchants would protect the cargo that would be passing through. And here's the lesson. If you apply this spiritually, which we're meant to in the book of Proverbs, when we sell ourselves because of our sin, because of things we want, and that's what Judas did, didn't he? Judas wanted the money. I mean, the whole time that he was with the others, we read that he had his hand in the purse. He was living for this world. He had the very things of eternity preached before him. And yet he lived for this short life. God says to unbelieving Israel, ye have sold yourselves for naught. Isaiah 52, the verse 3. He says in Isaiah 50, the verse 1, God says, behold, for your iniquities ye have sold yourselves. And that's the thought. We come to that proverb. The robbery of such villains. And that's how we are. We live in God's world. It belongs to him. And we harm ourselves. It says they destroy themselves. And that's what you do when you live without God in this world. It's self-harm. And that is what Judas did. He even took his own life. Think of it. He was planning the death of the Lord Jesus, but it resulted in his own death. And if we deny the Lord Jesus, especially if you've heard so much, do you realize how much privilege has been given to you? Most people in this world will never hear the gospel, will never hear the truths that you've heard. And you know, the Lord Jesus warns, to them whom much has been given, much will be required. Do you realize that? To those ancient cities. He said, woe to you, Bethsaida. Woe to you, Chorazin. It'll be more tolerable for the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah than for you in the day of judgment. Self-harm. See, Judas, for these 3 years, has been walking afar off, hasn't he? Oh, he goes along. Well, the Lord Jesus then finally denies him. Okay, if you deny the Lord Jesus, you say, what self-harm do I bring in my life? Okay, you deny God. What's the alternative? You have to be an atheist. There's no other alternative, is there? You came by accident. You came by chance into this world. You're no more than an ape. You're no more than a monkey. You see, we came here because God made us. God created us. It's either God or atheism. Another thing is, if you deny God, what do you deny? You deny a Christian worldview. That's what you deny. A Christian worldview. You say, what do you mean? Well, abortion's okay then. Because we just came by an accident. We're nothing. We weren't created in the image of God. We're not anything special. That's what you've got to do. I'm not saying it's right by any stretch of the imagination. Of course, it's terrible. We would never say that's right. But that's what you get when you walk at a distance from God. You destroy yourself. But you see, when you follow the Lord, He's got to be everything. He's got to be everything. And you deny yourself. You deny yourself. It's amazing what people will do to self-harm themselves. As I say, you can go to church and you can still deny God. How do you deny God? You refuse to bow to Him. You refuse to submit to Him in your life. You're not doing that. You're just going along like Judas. And in the end, you'll be separated from Him. To bow to God, read the Psalm 2, kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish in the way. The Son of God came into this world to suffer and to die and to give His life as a ransom for many, not for all, but for many. That's the love of God. That's the mercy. That's the kindness of God. And you know, just as we read there in Proverbs, how the bandits, they live their own way. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them. You're robbing God of the truth. You're robbing your soul of the truth. It'll destroy you. Just like it did Judas. Why? Because you refuse to do judgment. What is judgment? Good. What is the best good you can do tonight? I'll tell you what it is to confess your sins, to repent of them, and to seek the Lord while He may be found, and turn to Him while He is near, because there's a coming a day where He will not be found. Jesus Christ gave His life as a ransom for many. He gave His life so that those who now live no longer live unto themselves, but live unto Him that loved them and gave Himself for them. Are you walking afar off? Are you somebody who is a Christian, but you're walking afar off? I say, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Are you somebody that has been like Judas? You've never had any union with Christ. You've known Him. You know His word. You're far off. You continue to be that way, you'll be far off forever. You destroy yourself. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy themselves, because they refuse to do judgment. Oh, don't refuse that. Don't be a fool. You deny God, it's a terrible thing. It's an awful thing. Don't deny Him. Seek Him with all your heart. Amen.